Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beekeeper, you can make sure they don't use chemicals in the hive and that they only sell surplus honey. Plus, locally produced honeys have a smaller carbon footprint. Find tips and more at onethingus.com.
I have a word of advice for y'all. Get yourself to Oak Hall and do it now today, because right now men's and women's fall and winter merchandise is 70% off. Listen, I always look forward to the semi-annual sale, but this is the sale at its best. 70% off. That's 70. I may well see you there, because you're not just getting a great deal, you're getting a great deal on the best clothing in the world. I went to a Tigers game the other day wearing a new sport coat from Oak Hall. No fewer than 7 people commented on it. And if that many people said something, how many other people noticed? It just feels good to look that good. And here's the thing. I only bought that particular jacket because someone at Oak Hall suggested it to me, meaning they knew their clothing, yes, but they knew me and what I needed too. That's what you get from Oak Hall. That's why it's been making Memphians look spectacular since 1859. So go there right now while men's and women's fall and winter merchandise is 70% off.
There's a lot of famous Joes out there. Heck, there's even a lot of average Joes out there. But in the auto collision repair business, there's no one more famous than Joe Stewart Body Shop. Family owned since 1969 with an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating, Joe Stewart specializes in the luxury lines like Mercedes, BMW, Jaguar, Land Rover, Acura, Honda, but they can make any vehicle shine like new again. And they've been voted a Memphis Most Best Auto Body Collision Repair 7 years running by the Commercial Appeal. Call 901-323-2296 in Memphis or 901-850-0022 in Collierville, or visit online at Joe Stewart Body Shop.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
Gary Parish. I'm speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Doyle's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles, no disruptions.
Our daddy lost most everything on horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And I hope you weren't expecting a beautiful game of basketball inside FedEx Forum last night, because it wasn't that. But it was a win for Penny Hardaway's Tigers. And as I've said many times, the only alternative to a win in basketball is a loss. Don't call me a college basketball insider for nothing. And so given that those were the two options, you'd rather have a win than a loss, particularly when you just lost 3 straight. So they snap a 3-game losing streak with a closer-than-it-should-have-been victory over East Carolina, avoid the first 4-game losing streak of Penny Hardaway's college basketball coaching career. We'll talk about it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 425, Drew Hill's going to join me. You know Drew Hill. Covers the Memphis basketball program for the Daily Memphian. He was inside FedEx Forum last night. He'll be with me in about 20 minutes. I'll talk Tigers with him. When I finish that, I'm going to take a break, come back, do 4 notable stories, 444, at which point I will discuss 4 previously undiscussed stories. Among them, praise the Lord, the NBA season is about to be restarted. Yeah. I've missed it.
I really have to.
Missed it.
I'm fired up for tonight.
I'm not fired up for tonight. There's nothing worse than a 9 o'clock start on a Thursday night for my Wednesday-Thursday schedule.
Yeah. Against the Kings, no less.
Well, I wouldn't really care who they're playing. I'd like to watch. It's just I'm going on about 3 hours sleep. Every Thursday when I come in here, I'm going on about 3 hours sleep. And so I can get through the show. Watch. I'll do it. But staying up past 9 o'clock on a Thursday night,
yeah,
that's a tough one for me. I'll do my best. Grizzlies, Kings tonight. We'll get into it around 4:44. Kyrie Irving looks like he's going to be out for a while. Going to have another procedure on his shoulder. Between that and his off-the-court words, you wonder, and we've talked about this before, if Brooklyn's going, you know what, maybe we should have not done this, given that he was a pain in Cleveland and he is a pain in Boston, and now he's an injured pain in Brooklyn. We'll get into that story a little later on this hour. The death of college basketball.
Oh, no.
That's what some coaches are calling it.
I heard.
Because basketball players might soon be able to transfer without penalty. And that's going to be the death of college basketball.
Damn it.
I don't know why these coaches say these dumb things sometimes. We'll get into that just before 5 o'clock. And we got a heavyweight championship fight this weekend that should be awesome. Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury. And tomorrow at the weigh-in, they are not going to be allowed to face off because of the Nevada Athletic Commission has banned the face-off.
Why? Because they shoved each other?
Because they're scared of what might happen.
Yeah.
It's nearly unprecedented for a fight of this magnitude to not have a face-off the day before the fight. We'll talk about that a little bit during Four Notable Stories 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always. The brother of a famous former football player, a Hall of Famer, was arrested earlier today for an illegal gambling ring that he's running. I have a history with this man. I might tell that story around 5:30, and then we'll eventually do dinner to go and get out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get through, but I wanted to start with Tiger basketball. Big game last night inside FedEx Forum, if only because another loss would have resulted in the first four-game losing streak of Penny Hardaway's career, and that would not have been fun for anybody except maybe Joe Dooley, the East Carolina coach. So the Tigers needed a win, and they got one. Final score, 77-73. Was it pretty? No, it wasn't pretty. Was it impressive? Not really, but it was a win. And an ugly, unimpressive win is better than a pretty impressive loss, best I can tell. Mm-hmm. So, like Penny Hardaway said last night, he'll take it. He would have preferred to win by 30. He made that clear. But winning by four will do, all things considered. Once again, the Tigers had a big lead and blew it. Up 16 points with 15:40 left. It was 49-33. And then East Carolina, and keep in mind, this is a bad East Carolina team. They shouldn't really be going on 27-11 runs against anybody, especially the Tigers, even the shorthanded Tigers inside FedEx Forum. But they went on a 27-11 run, and suddenly the score is tied 60-60 with 6:09 left. Then it's tied 66-66 with 3:17 left. Then it's tied 69-69 with 1:49 left. The good news is that Memphis never trailed in the second half. So they did blow the lead, but they never actually fell behind. And that's a step in the right direction,
yes,
I guess. So they win 77-73. And the updated resume, if you're keeping track, it looks like this. The Tigers are now 1-4. In quadrant one opportunities, 5-2 in quadrant two opportunities. So they are 6-6 in quadrant one / quadrant two opportunities with two additional quadrant three losses. One is that home loss to Georgia. The other is the home loss to USF, as though those are both games that, by definition, they should have won even shorthanded. Memphis is now 53rd in KPI, 53rd in Sagarin, 63rd in the net, 69th at BPI, and 72nd at KenPom. And so what I did, because once you get far enough off the bubble where you're not in Jerry Palm's first four out or Joe Lenardi's first four out or next four out, it becomes hard for the casual basketball fan or even the hardcore basketball fan to have a grasp for like, okay, we're off the bubble. We're not in the bracket. We're off the bubble. How far off the bubble are we? So what I did is I took literally the last team in Joe Lenardi's bracket right now. And the only reason I use Lenardi instead of Palm is because Lenardi has updated more recently than Palm has updated. And the last team that Joe Lenardi has in his bracket right now, as of this afternoon, is Georgetown. And so let's run through Georgetown's resume and see how it stacks up next to Memphis's resume. Georgetown is right now 5-9 in quadrant one opportunities, 4-2 in quadrant two opportunities. So they're 9-11 in Q1 / Q2 opportunities. Now remember, I told you Memphis is 6-6. So Memphis has a 500 record in Q1, Q2 opportunities. And Georgetown's actually two games below 500 in Q1, Q2 opportunities. But Georgetown doesn't have those quad three losses. They have zero losses outside of the first two quadrants. And Georgetown clearly has more quadrant one victories, which is important. Georgetown's got five. Memphis at this point only has one. Georgetown is 42nd in KPI. Again, Memphis is 53rd. 52nd at KenPom, 54th in the net, 56th in Sagarin, 67th in BPI. So when you look at all those numbers, Memphis is anywhere from 10 to 20 within the range of Georgetown.
Oh, man, and their schedule is brutal.
Well, the Biggie schedule.
They're going to come off that bubble.
Biggie schedule for brutal.
Sure.
So, again, Georgetown has more Q1 wins. Georgetown has better losses because they don't have the quad three losses. Undeniably, Georgetown has a better resume. But it's not that much better, which is my way of saying Memphis probably isn't off of the bubble as much as some think.
Okay.
Or as much as it feels. Because it's been a rough few weeks for Memphis.
Yes, it has.
Three-game losing streak, losing heartbreakers where you led in the second half. You lose DJ Jeffries last week of January. You add all of this stuff up. You know, just think about how much this program has changed in the past 30 days on the calendar. So it feels almost hopeless. But there is still a path to an at-large bid for Memphis. And it's not if they win out. I hear people say that all the time. You know, well, they're going to have to win out. They're not going to have to win out. They don't have to win out.
Okay.
They do have to get some of these big wins.
Starting Saturday.
Starting Saturday against Houston would obviously be a wonderful place to begin. But the idea that they, quote, have to win out is just asinine. It doesn't jibe with reality. They do need to win most of their games, and they need to add some quadrant one victories. Anybody telling you they have to win out or there's no chance, it just doesn't understand how the selection process works, or more likely, doesn't grasp how average you can be and still get in to the 68-team tournament. But all that said, when I was asked last night, because I was in the studio for the Memphis East Carolina game and then the Villanova DePaul game, CBS Sports Network, and I was asked last night on Inside College Basketball, you know, do I think Memphis can get to the NCAA tournament? I said, of course I think Memphis can get to the NCAA tournament, but I don't think Memphis will get to the NCAA tournament. And the reason is because, and please forgive me for saying it again, but it's always important to remember, they're playing the rest of the way without their leading scorer and their third leading scorer. And teams don't make the NCAA tournament when they're missing those pieces. I keep hearing people say, Memphis should still be good enough to make the NCAA tournament. Okay, fine, they lost DJ Jeffries, they lost James Wise, but Memphis should still be good enough to make the NCAA tournament. Why do you think that? That's my question. Everybody who says that or tweets that or posts it anywhere, my question is always, why do you think that? What are you basing it on? Literally nobody has been able to provide me with an example of a team that made the NCAA tournament after losing their leading scorer before Christmas and their third leading scorer in January. So I'm assuming at this point, no such team exists. That's what I'm assuming. I'll be happy to acknowledge that the team does exist when somebody brings it to my attention. But I've been yelling about this for 2 weeks, tweeting about it, doing 4.5-minute videos on the set at CBS Sports Network. I've made the same points consistently. Nobody's been able to provide a team. So I'm going to assume no team exists at this point. So literally no team in the history of college basketball, far as we know, has been able to make the NCAA tournament enduring these types of losses when these losses happen. But people still think Memphis should make the NCAA tournament. Why? Why do you think that? What are you basing it on? Nobody else does it, but Memphis should do it. I dare anybody to rationalize the opinion when the opinion is rooted in, I think this thing should do something that nobody else has ever done. Try to defend that intelligently. It's hard. It'd be like a high school baseball player who hits 220 his senior year and says, I think I'm going to play in the major league. What are you basing that on? You just hit 220 your senior year of high school. You think we can find any other person who hit 220 senior year of high school and played the major leagues as a hitter? I'd be surprised. But you think you're going to do it. Nobody's ever done it. But you think you're going to do it. It's the same thing here. We can't find a team that's ever lost its leading scorer before Christmas, third leading scorer in January, and still made the NCAA tournament. But people still think Memphis should do it. What? You can hope Memphis does it. I hope Memphis does it. And I'm not even telling you it's impossible. But expecting it is foolish. because it flies in the face of everything we know about college basketball. And by the way, we continue to get examples across the country of how difficult things get when you're missing your best player, much less your best player and your third best player, but just your best player. Did you see Auburn last night?
What'd they do?
Lost again by 10 at Georgia.
Uh-oh.
Auburn was 22-2. 22-2. And ranked 11th in the country last week. Best player, Isaac Okoro, goes down with a hamstring injury. Immediately loses by double digits to Missouri, then loses by double digits at Georgia. 0-2 without Isaac Okoro. 22-2 with him, 0-2 without him. What's wrong with Auburn? What's Bruce Pearl doing? Nothing. He just lost his best player in midseason. It's hard. Arkansas, 16-5, top 35 at KenPom. When they had a healthy roster. Then they lose Isaiah Joe, best NBA prospect. They played five games since he went down. They're 0-5 in those games with four losses to unranked teams. What's wrong with Arkansas? What's Eric Musselman doing? It's hard. Lose your best NBA prospect midseason is hard. And yet people still say Memphis should be better. And I agree on some level, by the way. Like, Memphis should be more than 4 points better than East Carolina at home.
Sure.
I agree with that. I agree Memphis should be better offensively. Memphis should be better at taking care of the ball. I actually think Mark Giannotto has done a nice job of explaining in the games that Memphis should be better, that Penny should have made different adjustments within the context of a game to make this team better than what it is or has performed to certain degrees. Like, I agree with all that, and I think he's done a nice job of laying that out. But the idea that Memphis should be what most seem to want Memphis to be, again, an NCAA tournament team, it just flies in the face of everything we know about college basketball. It flies in the face of all of the historical data about what happens to teams that endure midseason personnel losses like this. What's impressive is that Memphis was actually good after James Wiseman quit the week before Christmas. Without Wiseman, they still look like a top 25 team, but the additional loss of DJ Jeffrey, just a killer. Just an absolute killer. And you can probably imagine what my Twitter mentions look like anytime I'm out there trying to explain these factual things to people. I hear a lot of, but GP, they were still good without Wiseman. You had a 10-game winning streak. So they should still be good without DJ. Because DJ Jeffries can't be that big of a difference. I've like heard that 50,000 times over the past week. Except here's the truth. DJ Jeffries is that big of a difference.
Yep.
He just is. Do you want the proof? Memphis was 15-4. Forget James Wiseman. Put him over here. Memphis was 15-4 with DJ Jeffries in the lineup. 15-4 and still a top 25 team. Without DJ, they're 3-4. What more do you need to know? It's a different team.
Yep.
Like, I was in studio last night with two college basketball icons, Khalid El-Amin, Jameer Nelson. Khalid won a national championship as the point guard at UConn. Jameer was the point guard on a number one seed in the NCAA tournament that went to the Elite Eight. He was the national player of the year. Then he spent more than a decade in the NBA. He was an NBA All-Star. He played in the NBA Finals. Hell, he was in the dunk contest this past weekend with Dwight Howard. And they both, because we get a lot of downtime in studio, so we have a lot of time just to talk and eat and talk and eat. And I love bouncing things off of players who have been through it. Because even when I think I know what I'm talking about, I'd still like to hear from their perspective. They've gone through these things. And one of the things they both said is you cannot overstate how difficult things get when you lose somebody midseason. When you lose people you were relying on in real time. Because suddenly everybody's role changes. Now people are getting shots they normally wouldn't get, maybe shouldn't get. People are having to guard people they otherwise wouldn't be guarding. Everything just gets hard. So you can say, well, losing DJ Jeffries shouldn't matter that much, but it does matter that much
It does. It changes everything with the team. Forget Wiseman. Losing DJ last week of January, it hurts. The record is the record. You can't argue with it. They were 15-4 with DJ Jeffries, 3-4 without DJ Jeffries. Do you really think on February 1st, the Memphis coaching staff just forgot how to coach?
Right.
Just on February 1st, they didn't know what they were doing anymore. Because they were 15-4 with DJ Jeffries. Then DJ Jeffries was removed from the lineup because of an injury. And now they're 3-4 without him. And one of the wins, by the way, a 4-point hold on to your for your life win against East Carolina at home last night. It is what it is. And here's another thing that doesn't get stressed enough. I was just looking at this earlier today. If you go right now and look at Memphis's minutes played, the top six healthy players that are still on the roster in minutes played, four of them are freshmen, two of them are sophomores. One is Precious Achiuwa, another is Boogie Ellis, Lester Quinones, Damian Ba, and then the two sophomores are obviously Alex Lomax and Tyler Harris. Those are your top six in minutes played among players who are still on the team and healthy. Four of those six players were sub-50 high school prospects. I know people like to talk about Memphis's talent. Four of the six were sub-50 players. Not really the type of players that typically have big impacts on good teams in their first year of college or often their second year of college. And half of them were sub-100 high school prospects. Damian Ba, Alex Lomax, and Tyler Harris. So trivia time. Can anybody name me another team in the country relying that heavily on freshmen and sophomores who were mostly sub-50 prospects that's winning at a relevant level?
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to challenge everybody. Everybody listening to me right now has Google. You have access to all the information I have access to. Go pull up Jerry Palm's bracket. Go pull up Joe Lenardi's bracket. Go through all 68 teams. See if you can find me one where the top six players are freshmen or sophomores and half of them were sub-50 high school recruits. I bet you can't find one. So the bottom line, if you're frustrated by how this season has gone and is going, I'm with you. It sucks. It sucks relative to what we thought this season was going to be. I don't blame you for being frustrated. All I'm trying to tell you, all I've been trying to tell you, is that there's literally nothing in the history of college basketball, far as I know, that suggests a team should make the NCAA tournament after losing its leading scorer before Christmas and its third leading scorer in January. Additionally, there's nothing in the history of college basketball, far as I know, that suggests you should make the NCAA tournament after you lose the pieces we've already discussed and suddenly you're operating with a roster where your top six players are all freshmen or sophomores. And more than half of them were sub-50 high school prospects. It's just important to remember that as you go through the rest of this season. It's a hard task. It doesn't mean there isn't a place to nitpick here or nitpick there. Have at it. But big picture, expecting this to be much more than what it is right now, which is a really shaky operation, there's not a whole lot of data to back that up. You can't find a lot of other examples that weren't this shaky under similar circumstances. And yet, let's focus on the positive. They still got a chance, in theory, on paper. You still got a chance to actually get to the NCAA tournament. And it's February 20th. And I know this season isn't going the way anybody wanted or expected, myself included. But to endure these personnel losses and to be dealing with a roster like the one they're dealing with right now and to still be technically in the NCAA tournament picture, at least on the bubble, on February 20th, that's not the worst thing in the world. I can remember times not too long ago when it was February 20th and nobody was sniffing the NCAA tournament bubble as it relates to the University of Memphis men's basketball program. So it's not what we expected or wanted, but it's still not the worst thing in the world. And you beat Houston inside FedEx Forum on Saturday, and maybe we come back here Monday and start having a different type of conversation. Drew Hill's up next. We are in the heart of basketball season now. Tigers trying to go to the NCAA tournament. Grizzlies trying to make the NBA playoffs. If you're the type of person who likes to have a drink while you're watching a game, Says Gary Parrish reminding you to make it New Amsterdam Vodka. New Amsterdam Vodka is a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It's 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered 3 times to create the soft finish. And, yes, it really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store, and that's because it's a quality vodka that's reasonably priced. Do you know how silly it is to pay nearly twice as much for another bottle when New Amsterdam is awesome and available? Super silly. So don't do that. Just grab a bottle or a case of New Amsterdam Vodka, which is the fastest-growing brand of vodka in the United States of America. If you're into flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam offers a variety. And check this out. Also, New Amsterdam offers a gluten-free vodka. So if you're on a gluten-free diet, that's the vodka for you. Please, ask for it by name when you're in a bar, in a restaurant, or in a liquor store. New Amsterdam Vodka. That's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com.
Spring cleaning every year is a thought most of us don't even want to consider. This is Sheldon Rosengarten with Mark Spensdorf Realtors, and I have a perfect solution. Clean up and then move. As long as you're cleaning up anyhow, do it and take advantage of this fabulous real estate market we've been in. Low rates, low inventory, create a perfect storm for home sellers. But before you go any further, think about talking to 2 to 3 real estate brokers and let me be one of them. No, I'm not going to help you clean, but I can guide you about making your home more desirable, to make more, and make it quicker. Buyers are picky today, and I know how to draw them to your home like flies to honey. I have a highly successful strategic marketing program with the tactical advantage of the Shellbucks option that can mean the difference in whether you sit or sell. Find out why people often say that when you want the job done, call Shell Done. Shell Done Rosengarten. You can reach me at MemphisRelocate.com or 483-0546. That's 483-0546 or MemphisRelocate.com. Do it now and go Tigers.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
This is Sarah's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
Driving cross-country with 2 young children is ambitious, to say the least. Then our check engine light came on. We pulled into O'Reilly Auto Parts and they tested it. Turned out it was a faulty sensor. They referred us to a great mechanic just down the street and we were back on the road in no time.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Most ads interrupt your music with dialogue. This ad interrupts it with more music, and that's marginally better. Thanks, giant Snickers hole.
The world is out of sorts. We need to fix it quicker. We're gonna fix the world. We're feeding in Snickers. We're taking a huge hole. It's a huge hole. Dropping it right in. It's a dumb thing to do. So good if it works, we all win.
I wanna put on my boogie shoes.
Put on your favorite boogie shoes and get ready for a night of pure fun when KC and the Sunshine Band take the stage at the Fitz Casino and Hotel Saturday, February 29th. You'll be shaking everything you got and singing along to hit after hit. Tickets start at $45. Get them at the Fitz or through Ticketmaster. Hotel packages include a deluxe room and 2 reserved show tickets for $249. Call 1-662-363-LUCK and mention code CPKC. Get down to the legendary funk, R&B, and disco sounds of KC and the Sunshine Band. Saturday, February 29th at the Fitz Casino and Hotel. Luck lives here.
Room subject to availability. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, broadcasting from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
NBA season restarts tonight. Grizzlies are in Sacramento. Tip-off 9 o'clock. You'll be able to listen to that right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. We'll talk about it in the next segment. Jeff Calkins is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, he's the beat writer for the Memphis men's basketball program, Daily Memphian. You can read him, dailymemphian.com. It's Drew Hill. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
I should say it's Drew Hill in studio. Drew Hill in studio, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, no problem. I was over here. I've had a pretty crappy day so far. Had to cancel a dentist appointment. Had a flat tire, but I made it. It can't be as bad as your day. I was walking home. I saw you on in the lobby. They had the CBS Sports Network on. Right. You were wearing pink? last night?
What was I wearing last night? I had on a white shirt and a maroon tie. It was a maroon tie.
Maybe it was maroon. Yeah. I don't know. And I saw you. I was like, oh, he must be in New York the rest of the week. But here you are.
Yeah, no. I wake up. I go to bed. I get out of the studio about 1 a.m. every Wednesday night. After we wrap up everything, it's usually about 1. Get back to my hotel around 1:15. And then I do the top 25 in 1. So that's going to take me until 2:15. Probably fall asleep right around 3. And I get up at 6:30. And I fly home. And then I go straight to the Delta Sky Club. And I prepare for radio from the Delta Sky Club. Get me some tomato bisque and drink some Coke Zero. And then I come in here and with heavy eyes do a two-hour radio show.
Crazy.
It's not the worst.
That's a grind.
It's not the worst. It's not the worst way to make a living, but it often feels that way. But at least I don't have a flat tire. You had a flat tire today.
Yep. Terrible.
It is terrible.
I just got new tires, too, like 2 weeks ago. Already have a nail in it.
Yeah, well, it's not to besmirch our fine city, but between nails, and I guess nails could be anywhere, but the potholes, I'm not exaggerating. I probably had 4 flat tires from potholes in Memphis in the past 3 years. I just hit them, and they just, boom, immediately, I can't drive anymore, and I have to call AAA. Thank God for that AAA membership. So listen, I was in studio last night. You saw it. You got proof. I wasn't inside FedEx Forum. You were. How tense did it get in the arena when all of a sudden this game that's supposed to be easy and looked like it was going to be easy, now it's tied with just a few minutes left?
It got really tense, and I got really nervous, to be honest, because when they were up by 16 in the second half, I tweeted something along the lines of, like, you know, Memphis isn't playing great night right now, but ECU just looks totally outclassed in this game. And then literally as soon as I hit send, somebody responded to me like, oh, you done it this time. As soon as I hit send, here they come. Damian Baugh's just throwing up shots off the backboard. Alex is turning it over. And I'm like, what the hell is going on out here? And I was getting nervous and a little bit more nervous as it was going on. And that was as restless as I have heard FedEx Forum all year. Like, the groans were audibly loud every time ECU was making a play. Like, okay, why have we not figured this out by now? What the hell is going on?
It certainly looked that way on television as well. And, like, I'm sitting in studio. You're sitting courtside. I'm sitting in studio, and I'm like, just come on and close this game. Because I'm the person who for 2 weeks has been trying to explain why this team isn't that good, and yet I was like, if they lose, I'll have to hear about it. And then I'll have to scream, I've been trying to tell you they're not that good, but it doesn't matter. Like, still people expect you to beat East Carolina, and you should. Let's be clear. You should beat East Carolina no matter what. No James Wiseman, no DJ Jeffries. Hell, if you took Boogie Ellis and threw him over here, you should still beat East Carolina. But it's just a really fragile operation right now, and that was obvious again last night.
The confidence is not exactly, I think, where it needs to be, and neither is the focus, to be honest, because you're watching that. Penny said, we get up big, and then they start trying things. That's the way that he described it, like, as if they're just, like, being adventurous and like, ooh, let me try this little over-the-shoulder hook shot that's going to fly over the backboard. Like, there was no rhyme or reason to what they were doing for a solid 8 minutes in the second half, and you could just see the frustration. At one point, Cody Topper looked at Penny right after one of the turnovers, and he goes, we just go crazy. Like, we just go insane when we get up.
Cody's the one I feel the worst for, because you got to remember, he's working in the NBA last season with professional players. The contrast between watching professional players, NBA players, do what they do and what they're instructed to do, to then making freshmen and sophomores. And not like, I know everybody loves to talk about Memphis as talent, and they do have talent. But it's not the talent we were talking about all offseason, and it's not Kentucky talent or Duke talent. Like, there's one NBA player on the roster, probably. If we're being honest, there's one NBA player on the roster, and there's only 2 top 50 players on the roster. So it's not this amazing talent that we thought it would be when it was led by perhaps the most amazing talent that was going to be in college basketball. And so, I've sat down with Cody. He's a really smart.
Oh, yeah, brilliant.
But first off, smart guy anyway. Like, smart guy if you're talking about anything.
Cornell.
He went to Cornell.
Give me a break.
He's a smart guy, but smart basketball mind. And I can't imagine how frustrating it is to consistently tell 18- and 19-year-olds, this is what we're doing, this is how we do it, this is how we run it, run it again, run it again, run it again, and then you get game time, and it's just nothing like what you've told them to do. Now, part of coaching is making players do what you want them to do, but that said, I can't imagine how frustrating it must be, because he understands everything they're trying to do at like the back of his hand.
What I think is hilarious is, think about it. Last year, he's coaching D'Anthony Melton, who's the guy we call Mr. Do Something because he just finds a way to do something all the time. Right. That's exactly the opposite of that. They Mr. Screw It Up is what Memphis had in the second half.
Well, I did. There was one thing. Okay, so last season, I was on sideline at the CAA tournament, I think. Yeah, Colonial tournament. And I was in the huddle. It was a championship game, or maybe one of the semifinals, but it was a tie game, final 30 seconds. And I knew both of the coaches, so I was comfortable getting a little closer than I normally get to the huddle, and I could hear exactly what they were trying to do. And it was a out of bounds, 17 seconds left. Maybe the team was down two. They were going to take a three to try to win it, and it was supposed to be a you come off this screen, pop here, we'll get you the ball. And then, like, the play, it was, and I heard all of it. And so what I was able to go on TV, we're on live television in the game, I said they are going to try to win this game with a three-pointer. The goal is not to tie it and get to overtime. They're trying to pop somebody out to the three-point line. I didn't get too specific because you don't want to, but I explained exactly what was going to happen. And instead, they inbounds the ball, and a guy drives straight to the rim, and shot gets blocked, and the game's over. They lose. And so I had a bunch of people on Twitter who were watching the game. They were like, GP, you like messed up. And I'm like, I didn't mess up. I repeated literally what the coach was saying. And so I explained all this on a subsequent podcast that we were doing. Me and Matt Norlander had a good time with it. And I got a text from a coach who's at a top 10 program in America. And he said, I'm so glad you told that story about how the coach told the players exactly what to do. And literally 10 seconds later, they went out and did the opposite of what he said. He said, because that happens to us all the time. It doesn't matter how often we explain and detail. Once you put them on the court, all bets are off.
And I think a lot of it, it's not to the fault. I mean, it is to the fault of players, but you got to think about it. When you're Penny and you're coaching these young guys, like, he can tell you to do one thing, and then your instincts will be to do something else, and then you just do it, like, just naturally do it. Even though it's exactly what Penny said not to do. There was a moment where he got into the postgame press conference earlier this year. I can't remember. It was the last home game that they won before East Carolina. For whatever reason, I can't remember the team. And because at one point he like...
Temple, maybe?
Temple, I think. Okay. Yeah. He put his hands together and he like in a praying motion and looked at the sky and said, thank you. And I asked him, I was like, what was that all about after the game? And Penny goes, I literally called that inbounds play the play before. And they ran it perfectly, except for the fact that they just never passed it to Precious when he was supposed to get the ball, right. And he was wide open to score. And so then they came back, and I said, what the hell are we doing? And then the next time he runs it, they run it perfectly.
Right.
And so he was, like, thanking God for the fact that they actually listened to what he was telling
them. And the idea that it's February and you have to sort of pray that your players might run accurately an out-of-bounds play that you've designed and probably worked on 100 times speaks to how difficult it is coaching young players. And that's not to make excuses for anything, but it is a possible explanation. Why do things look so out of whack so often? Because they are relying on a lot of young players, and it's not a lot of young future NBA players. It's just a lot of young, talented, but not extremely talented players.
Yeah, no, they have, in my opinion, and I just wrote about this actually at the dailymemphian.com, and I think you're right in terms of when you look at the big picture, like this, just look at history, like you're saying. They're going to be about what they should be, right?
That's all I've ever said is if you can find me examples of teams that have gone through what Memphis is going through and still been NCAA tournament teams, I will listen to you. But so far, nobody's been able to do it. And if nobody can provide an example of a team that went through what Memphis is going through and still made the tournament, that should tell you how difficult it is.
Yes. Now, with that being said, when you do go back and you look at these games, they've had a lot of these games on the table.
That's the thing.
I can't blame Precious Achiuwa when Precious is frustrated saying, I know we're young. Like, I want to be the team that's not that. I can't blame him for thinking that way because when you look at it, to be honest, a couple things go a different way. They could have three more wins right now than they
could be in the tournament bracket projections right now if they probably – just hold on to a double-digit lead at Cincinnati and hold on to a double-digit lead over SMU. That might be enough to get them there.
Right, and that's the crazy thing about it. Right. And if they get a rebound against South Florida, they're going overtime.
Right. I mean, that's the frustrating stuff is that despite all of this, that they've endured and all of the youth and the lack of NBA talent on the roster, it's still raised.
Do you think that's why people don't want to listen?
I think, in your opinion? Yeah, I think there is a segment of the fan base that genuinely believes, okay, we shouldn't be great, but we should be better than this. And I'm not dismissive of that. I think if you say this is a team that only beats East Carolina by four, or this is a team that blows a double-digit lead over Cincinnati in the final 6 minutes, or this is a team that allows SMU to storm back on a 14.
Didn't score in the final 6 minutes.
Yeah, like if your opinion as a fan is we should be better than that, I agree with you. You should be better than that in those moments. But big picture, the team is what it is when you're dealing with what they're dealing with. That's the only point I've tried to make.
Right. I do think that's fair. But again, like I think I'm more understanding of both sides.
Right.
Like, and I read obviously what Giannotta wrote yesterday. Right. I hear you out. I don't really know where I fall in this. I just don't think anybody is above all criticism. Now, do I think you should be criticizing Penny? No, because look at what they are exactly what you thought that they would be.
Right. And when I think that's gotten twisted up a little bit, and perhaps I could have been more clear in the points I've tried to make. When I say you're crazy to criticize Penny Hardaway, I don't mean you're crazy to penalize Penny Hardaway when his team blows a 10-point lead in the final six
right.
minutes.
Yeah.
That's not what I mean. I mean, the jokes from a distance seem to be rooted in, you wanted all the smoke, and you were talking about national championships, and now your team's headed to the NIT. Ha, ha, ha. What I mean when I say you're crazy to criticize Penny Hardaway, what I mean is for going to the NIT when he lost his leading score
right,
before
that's
Christmas
just stupid.
And his third leading score before February. That's what I mean. But on a game-to-game basis,
right.
You're up comfortably. Now your team can't score, and you just lost to an inferior team at home. Be critical if you want to. I understand that. I'm more of big picture. Every point I've tried to make is more big picture. I don't get caught up in possession to possession as much as you look at this on a macro level. Here's what you had. Here's what you lost. Here's what you're going through. It's just hard to find examples, perhaps impossible to find examples, where it went well or much better than this.
From a big picture standpoint, everything makes perfect sense.
Right.
Right? Yeah. And this is a team that, like, look, they could go into the conference tournament. Do I see them winning 4 games in 4 days based off of what I have watched
right.
over the last 4 weeks? Probably not. Like, I just don't see that. Now, they could still get a first-round bye because the AAC is just a dumpster fire right now.
Sure.
And you could still see them setting up for a good run. Like, I have a feeling that this conference championship or this conference tournament is going to look something like Houston versus a team that we just don't see coming. And maybe that can be Memphis.
I could see that. Wrapping up here with Drew Hill in studio. Last thing before I let you go, because you have an interesting perspective. You have covered a football program with an intense fan base. That's
right.
Alabama.
Yeah.
And a basketball program with an intense fan base. That's Memphis. Are there any similarities between Memphis basketball fans and Alabama football fans, or are there noticeable differences between the two?
There are several differences, I would say. It's just way different when a program has as much success as Alabama football has had. Now, the expectation is always so high that people almost want the team to be criticized to a certain extent. Like, they are looking for a reason to complain. Like, for example, when Lane Kiffin was there, they're running one of the best offenses in college football, and people still find a way to complain about, you know, Lane Kiffin, he runs too many bubble screens. This is stupid, you know, and they get pissed. And so some people want you to be a little bit more critical, whereas here it's the support is in a different way,
right.
and the program is in a different state, to
sure.
be honest. Like, this is a program that has had a lot of success, that is trying to build towards being the program that it once was. And so I think people want the writers in the city and the public figures to sort of be behind them all the way to sort of build them up to that point. Whereas at Alabama, it's like they're just kind of searching for ways to be critical at times.
I guess. I guess when you're that perfect that often, then you got to find something to nitpick. But it's interesting that you're one of the few people who probably has that perspective, somebody who's covered at different schools an intense football fan base and an intense basketball fan base. That's Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian. Make sure you are reading him at dailymemphian.com. I appreciate you popping in studio.
Anytime.
Yeah, get to your dentist appointment as soon as possible.
Will do.
That's Drew Hill here in studio. When we come back, Grizzlies back in action tonight, 9 o'clock tip against the Kings. We'll talk NBA next.
20 ribeyes for $30 at three locations in Memphis right now. For a limited time, hurry now. 20 ribeyes for $30. EBT, credit cards, debit cards, all payments accepted. Last chance to compare five-star steaks to Omaha Steak Box steak deals and save on the ribeyes. 20 ribeyes for $30. Look for the big tent in the parking lot of Wolf Chase Mall, the South Haven Town Center, and Oak Court Mall right now. Also on the big truck, crazy deals on premium steaks, pork, seafood, and gourmet chicken breasts. Everything must go. It's a truckload meat mania sale. Look for the big tent and truck in the parking lot of Wolf Chase Mall at the Highway 64 entrance and at the South Haven Town Center in front of JCPenney's across from Fox and Hound. And also look for the big tent in the parking lot of Oak Court Mall directly in front of the food court on Poplar Street. Crazy deals on Kansas City strips, New York strips, fillets, bacon wrap fillets, mega ribeyes, and get 20 ribeyes for $30. Three locations in Memphis, open 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in the parking lot of Wolf Chase Mall, the South Haven Town Center, and Oak Court Mall.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected five times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
Whether it's the perfect pork sandwich, mouth-watering ribs, or the best burger or brisket, Tops Barbecue has you covered. For over 67 years, that taste of slow-cooked, real pit barbecue has been serving generation after generation of Mid-Southerners. Enjoy the barbecue plates, burger combos, and delicious sides. Or if you're feeding the masses, fill them up with a 6, 12, or 24 party pack. Because you recognize quality barbecue taste, they've been doing Q since 52. Visit any of their 15 locations. Tops Barbecue for Mid-Southern barbecue lovers.
Hi, this is Wes McClooney, owner of the New Balance Memphis store. Achieving your personal best on the road or in the gym often comes down to how you feel. And when it comes to the right shoes, nothing feels better than New Balance. Shop at the New Balance Memphis store, where our in-store team is extensively trained to guide you through a personalized shoe fitting. The fit specialists at New Balance Memphis take precise measurements of your feet. Then, they analyze how you stand, walk, and run in order to determine your foot's size, shape, and gait. Your individual foot characteristics are then matched against more than 48 New Balance models, resulting in the perfect fit. Feel the energy. Feel the strength. Be fearless. Feel the difference with the New Balance individual size and width advantage. Experience the difference of custom fit for yourself. Visit the fit specialists at the New Balance Memphis store today, located in the Cordova Town Center on Germantown Parkway behind the Outback Steakhouse. New Balance Memphis, your feet will thank you.
What's your case worth? Dial pound 529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, broadcasting from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night, right? Every single fight, right? I was looking at the grandma and I don't even like lights. I was screaming at my daddy, told me it ain't Christ-like. I was screaming at the referee, just like Mike, looking for a bright light. Seagull, what your life like? Riding on a white bike.
Jeff Conklin's going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. I will talk Tigers and Grizzlies with him, but right now I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
The NBA is back, Bennett.
Yes, sir.
NBA is back. The first game that tips tonight is actually going to be Bucks and Pistons. That's the first game post All-Star break, okay. 6 o'clock Central.
That's inside Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. But who cares about that crap?
Doesn't affect us too much.
Doesn't matter to us. 9 o'clock Central is where we paying attention. Golden 1 Center in Sacramento. Grizzlies at Kings. Grizz enter 28 and 26 alone in 8th in the Western Conference standings with a 4-game lead over the Portland Trail Blazers. I hate that they're opening up in California on a Thursday. And I mean this in, like, sincerely. Mm-hmm. I'm exhausted. I don't know that I can stay up. But there are a few things from a sports perspective that I enjoy right now more than watching the Memphis Grizzlies try to make the playoffs.
You and me both.
Like, I mean, Jonas Cespedes batting practice is up there, too. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying watching Jonas Cespedes batting practice.
Yeah.
But
Jim Dolan's about to buy your franchise.
Dude, I saw that today.
I mean, sorry.
That can't possibly happen.
You're in trouble.
I mean, that cannot happen. Like, you just have to just not let that happen.
Yeah, that's a bad move.
I mean, I saw it today, and it's like Jim Dolan's interested in buying the Mets. I'm like, come on.
Don't do it.
Like, the Mets already got the worst owners in Major League Baseball. Yeah. Now you're going to make it even worse. How do you take the worst ownership situation and make it worse? You sell to Jim Dolan.
Yep.
Holy crap. I hope that's not true. Anyway, I'm focused on Jonas Cespedes batting practice. Mm-hmm. My favorite things in the world right now from a sports perspective, Jonas Cespedes batting practice and Grizzlies games. And so the 9 o'clock tip is rough for me on a Thursday night, but I'm going to do my best. And what's interesting is the latest, you know, so there are 4 games ahead of Portland in the Western Conference.
Yes.
Everybody knows that. And Portland seems to be on paper the biggest challenger to the Grizzlies' playoff hopes. And you might remember Damian Lillard was injured last week, had to withdraw from the All-Star game.
What's up with him?
He was able to rap, but he was not able to play. The latest expectation is that Damian Lillard is expected to miss at least 3 to 4 games with what is now being described as a groin strain.
That's huge.
So it's at least 3 or 4. It's not 3 or 4 max. It's at least 3 or 4. And like I said yesterday, nobody wishes injuries on anybody,
no.
Especially somebody like Damian Lillard, who by all accounts is a nice guy and a total pro. So nobody wants this.
No.
But you can take advantage of it.
My God, have we dealt with it over the years.
Of course. So you don't wish for these types of things, but once these type of things exist, you try to take advantage of them. And so we really are, and I hope most Grizzlies fans can sort of latch on to this the way that I think it's smart to latch on to this. You want Grizzlies wins. That's the most important thing.
Yes,
you would love the Grizzlies to get to 42, finish above 500, and I think 42 probably gets you where you're trying to get to. You'd love that.
Mm-hmm.
But more than that, you just want to have more wins than you want to have the 8th most wins in the Western Conference. If it's 39, fine. You'd rather it be 42. But if 39's good enough, 39's good enough. And so the way you're going to watch the rest of the season is Grizzlies wins are important, but Blazers losses are important too. Pelicans losses are important too. And when Damian Lillard's going to be out at least 3 or 4 games, because here's the other thing. We keep talking about you want Grizzlies wins. You might not get a lot of them.
No, I mean, not this road trip, man. I mean,
you might not get any on this
tonight,
road trip.
Tonight feels massive. I mean, it just feels like such a big game because it's the one that you feel like you could probably win because the next three are against 3 of the best teams in the NBA.
Well, the Grizzlies earlier today were a 1.5-point favorite. It's now back down to even. So it's a coin flip situation.
Yeah.
Now, Lakers is not going to be a coin flip situation.
No.
At Clippers is not a coin flip situation.
Yeah.
At Houston is not a coin flip situation. So when I was talking to Joe Mullenix yesterday, we both agreed, you probably take 1 and 3. Because
100%.
Because 2 and 2 is less likely than 0 and 4. You're more likely to go 0 and 4 on this trip than 2 and 2. And so 1 and 3 would be respectable. And this is the one you need to get tonight. So it really is a big game.
100%. If you put a gun in my head right now,
I will put a gun to your head right now.
And said, you can either have 1 and 3 or you can play these games out and see what happens. I'm going to take the 1 and 3.
I'm
just going to. Again, after Sacramento, you're playing 3 of the best teams in the NBA.
I think I would take 1 and 3, too. So you're not only rooting for unlikely Grizzlies wins over the next week at Sacramento, at Houston, at Clippers, at Lakers. You're also rooting for Portland losses. And Portland losses are more likely than they otherwise would be because Portland's going to be playing without its star player for at least 3 to 4 games. That is Damian Lillard. And what's interesting is the first Blazers game, post All-Star break is also the first Pelicans game post All-Star break.
Oh, how about that? Well, that's fine. That actually works out good for
somebody got to lose it?
Yeah, we'll take either outcome. That's fine.
That's 9:30 tomorrow night on ESPN Pelicans Blazers. So it'll be Zion against the Lillardless Blazers. So somebody's got to lose. So I guess at that point, you're probably rooting for Pelicans.
I think you're probably rooting for Pelicans, but I don't. Either way, I'm kind of cool with either outcome of that game, I'll be honest.
First things first, Grizz try to take care of business tonight. They're in Sacramento. You'll be able to listen to that on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Story number two.
Kyrie Irving is reportedly going to miss, quote, a significant amount of time with a shoulder procedure. The expected recovery time after he has this procedure is 2 to 3 months, which means more than likely his first season in Brooklyn is done, baby, done. And it's just, like, I don't think they cared too much about this season in Brooklyn because everything is geared toward, you know, get KD back. And by the way, have you seen recent video of him?
No.
He's flying around.
Okay.
Like, he looks like he could maybe play basketball right now. Now, they're going to be so careful with that. I don't know that they've ever actually said there's a 0% chance he plays in this season. But certainly the understanding is he's not playing in this season. And now there's no point. Like, why would you rush him back? Just keep doing what you're doing, and let's make sure opening night 2020-21 season, you're ready to go. Kyrie's ready to go. But so far, it hasn't worked out well, this Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, bring them to Brooklyn. They knew they'd never have Kevin in year one, but you thought maybe you'd have Kyrie at least establishing a culture and becoming the face of a franchise and giving you – memorable nights and hopefully wins. And like, it's just been off the court weird stuff, off the court questionable things coming out of his mouth. He really hasn't shown that he's learned anything from the troubles that either he created or at the very least were a part of in Boston and before that Cleveland. And so you know, we could look up a year from now and Kyrie and Kevin are just balling out and maybe Brooklyn looks great and you go, okay, man, they were smart to do that. But given that Kyrie is an amazing talent and yet still seems to not get it, what it's like to be the face of a franchise, what's required to be a leader in the locker room, he just doesn't seem to get that stuff. I think he's a smart guy, but just has this – can't get it. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't register with him. When you combine that with the fact that he seems to be hurt all the damn time, I would – how about this? If you told me I own the – Brooklyn Nets, and I could push a button, and if I push button A, the contract's voided and we are free from this forever, or B, we just ride it out, I think I'd push A.
Absolutely. Because you got Kevin Durant coming next year in the East.
I think I'd rather go, you know what, let's get another max player besides Kyrie Irving and try to run this thing back with Kevin Durant. The Kyrie Irving thing just is not going to work for a variety of reasons. I think I'd push the button that would let me free up from the contract. But there is, in real life, no such button, so they're just going to ride this thing out. Again, the news today, Kyrie Irving expected to be done for the season after a shoulder procedure.
Story number three.
So the transfer rule has been a topic of conversation this week because the working group has made a recommendation to allow all Division I student-athletes, that means basketball players, football players, everybody, to transfer from a four-year school to a four-year school once without penalty. And so the reaction to this is pretty predictable. And yet Jeff Goodman at Stadium had a quote from a coach today that really just took it over the top. When asked what this transfer rule means to college athletics, specifically college basketball, the coach said, and I quote, "It'll be the death of college basketball."
Seems a little extreme.
Seems very extreme. The death of college basketball. John Gassaway, I'll give him credit, at ESPN, went and pulled quotes from, like, the early 80s when the three-point line was implemented, and they were all the same quotes. The death of college basketball.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so people are just
it's
afraid.
Worked out pretty
well. Yeah, it's fine. It's not the three-point line's fine. Nobody's complaining. Not only was it not the death of college basketball, if you could take it away today, you wouldn't take it away today.
Right.
So I think on some level, people are just afraid of change, but on this topic specifically, I think coaches are so hesitant to relinquish control and allow student athletes to have the same rights and freedoms that they have that they just instinctively push back on it. And so you get stupid quotes like, this will be the death of college basketball. No, it's not. First off, it's not going to be the death of college basketball. And secondly, well, first let me explain to you what they mean when they say that. Here's what they mean. Is that every time you have a player who isn't happy, that player is going to leave. And that if you're at the low major or mid-major level, you're just never going to be able to keep your good players. Because if you get a good player, under-the-radar high school prospect, comes to you because he didn't have high major offers, and now he looks like a high major player. He's averaging 19 points per game. Well, then the high majors are going to recruit him straight off of your campus, and then you'll have you, and then he's gone forever. And let me be clear, that's true. That will 100% happen. And let me be clear that it is also awesome, and I can't wait for it to happen.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.